the fortunes are made in the follow-up process. It's the one thing that separates a mediocre salesperson from a successful one. It's that ability to follow up. It is the hidden fortune in the sales game. According to the National Sales Executive Association, 2% of all sales are made on the first contact. 3% of all sales are made on the second contact. 5% of sales are made on the third contact. 10% of all sales are made on the fourth contact, which means that 80% of all sales are made between the fifth and the 12th contact. The reason why a lot of clinic sales staff don't follow up, or that they're not good at following up, is because they don't have a proven system for following up. They don't know how many times they should be in contact with a prospect, when they should contact them, how many times is too much, how many times is too little, and how you can switch up the multiple touch points. What we're going to show you now is a proven system of tactics on how to best set up your follow-up system for increasing the amount of sales you'll be converting. So our first method is the telephone follow-up. Now, it can't be that hard, right? You pick up a phone and you call. While we do this daily, there are ways that you want to do this correctly if you're looking to influence your conversion rates. So we've compiled some of our best tips here for how to approach phone calls as part of your follow-up sequence. First, you always want to add value and have a reason for your call. You don't want to be calling up a prospect with some generic commentary like, "Oh, hi, Kathy, I'm just calling you to follow up on that quote that I sent you earlier this week." No, that is a follow-up call that is all about the clinic driving for a sale. And that's what everybody else does, and it's boring, and it's all about you. It's what we call a selfish follow-up because it's not about the prospect. A call like that is simply to satisfy your interests and benefit, and there's no value in that for the prospect. So, whenever you are calling back a prospect in regards to following up, you want to look for areas that can add value. If you had sent them a detailed quote on pricing, a better approach would be, "Hey, Kathy, I'm just giving you a call following up on the detailed quote that I sent you earlier in the week. I've actually since then gone ahead and looked at some other similar options for you. I've spoken with my practice manager and I've got some further ideas how we can really add some value for you here and design this in a way that's going to help you reach your desired outcome." Your prospect will be very impressed that you've actually taken the time to have a meeting and discuss their quote specifically, and that you've looked it over again and thought about what else you can do for them to provide more value. That is a very different phone call from what prospects typically get, and it demonstrates that you see value in their relationship and that you want to help them in the best possible manner. When reaching out, always make sure that you have a reason to call. It's not just about you calling up and pestering this person. You actually have a reason to speak to them and why you want to follow up with them. Our second tip is that you want to pay attention to what your prospects are saying to you. If they say something like, "I'm going to speak with my partner on Wednesday. Please give me a call on Thursday." Then please don't call them at 8 a.m. on Wednesday and go, "Hey, how did you go with chatting with your partner?" It just shows that you haven't been paying attention. Instead, when you call them on Thursday like they requested, you will want to say something like, "Hey, Kathy, how did it go with your partner, Richard? Did he have any questions about this?" We specifically mention a small detail, in this case her partner's name, as a way of reinforcing for the prospect that you have been paying attention. And by paying that extra level of attention is really important as it shows that you are willing to invest your time and energy into this prospect. Our third point is to always have a good attitude when you call people. Now, this might sound like common sense, but it is possible that there could be a lot of following up taking place. And it's easy for people to get frustrated, especially when you're calling multiple times and you can't get them on the phone and you keep leaving voice messages and they still haven't gotten back to you. Regardless of how you feel, do not wrong the customer. You need to have a positive attitude when calling a prospect. No matter how many times you have called them, you need those conversations to be enthusiastic and with a great attitude. Our next tip is to never make them feel obligated. You know, for example, "Oh, hi, Kathy. This is the fifth time I've called you. I really need you to get an answer on that quote. Or I've sent you a few emails. Why haven't you seen them? Why haven't you responded?" That's not the best way to treat a prospect. Getting them to engage with you is not like putting a task list on their desk for them to complete. You still need to approach them in a way that they don't feel obligated to respond. And if they haven't done something that they have said that they would, you can just approach it this way by saying, "Hey, no problems." And you address the issue right there on the phone. So if they say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I still haven't gotten a chance to look at that detailed quote yet." Don't be like, "Oh, really? Come on, it's been like a week, man. Like, when will you finally get to this thing?" That is the wrong way to handle it. You want to strike a friendlier tone and address the issue more like, "Cool, no problems. I understand that things can get busy. Let's run through that detailed quote right now over the phone instead." And you just start running through the quote right there over the phone. You turn the negative into a positive. You don't put the burden on your prospect. Our fifth piece of advice is to always make your follow-up calls in a timely fashion. This is something that I don't see a lot of clinics doing. Instead, they delay and procrastinate making that call, finding other reasons and justifications for delaying, in most cases for very invalid reasons. Delaying or procrastinating is the exact opposite of what you want to do. You want to make that call quickly. Don't think about it too long. If you said you're going to call them on Thursday, don't sit there meditating about making this call. Just make the call. "Hey, Kathy, Huyen here from the Lipo Clinic. How are you going?" "Oh, I'm doing well." "Awesome. I'm just giving you a call to see if you've had enough time to make a decision." Just get straight in there. Get to those no's. Don't be afraid of them. The more no's that you can get to quickly, then the more time you have to get to those yeses. Don't delay these calls and build them up in your mind, putting this call back on a pedestal and increasing the anxiety and expectation around it. Just make the call quickly and timely. All right, we've covered a lot of ground about using telephone calls in your follow-up process. To quickly recap, when you're looking at the phone as a touch point in a follow-up process, what you want to consider is 1. Always adding value in the call. Always have a reason for the call. Use that reason to add value to your conversation for the prospect and move closer towards securing the conversion. 2, pay attention. Listen to the details of what a prospect is telling you and don't ignore even the smallest detail. Paying attention and adjusting your follow-up in accordance to what they've told you will help further establish trust between yourself and the prospect. 3, always have a good attitude. I don't care if it's the 5th, the 6th, or the 50th follow-up call that you're making to this prospect, never wrong the prospect over the telephone. If they haven't done what they've said they would, smile and carry on. 4, never make them feel obligated. If you said that you are going to call a prospect back on Thursday once they've had a chance to look at that quote that you are sending them, and when you call them on Thursday and they still haven't gone over the quote, don't make them feel wrong for not coming through. Be more agreeable and push the conversation along positively. "Hey, okay, that's fine. Let's go ahead and do that right now." And finally, 5, don't hesitate. Don't delay or procrastinate on making your phone calls. Make your calls immediately at your agreed time. Those are the five key points that you need to be thinking about considering when following up using the telephone. Moving right along, in this section, we're going to study the contrast between following up using texting versus a phone call. We qualified this follow-up process as multimodality for a reason, as we want to switch up the means we are using to follow up with a prospect so that we don't keep using the same approach and expecting different outcomes. Each of these different means of following up is like a different weapon that we can call on, and you only want to pull it out when you need to cut through if a prospect has gone silent on you. Let's first look at the reasons why you would send a text message rather than just getting a prospect onto a phone call and hashing out the details right then and there. Think about that mobile phone, which is generally in your pocket most of the time. When you receive a new text message notification, you tend to quickly check that text message. Whereas most people are now letting phone calls go to their voicemails, and in some cases, never even checking their messages. SMS messages are sent straight through as a direct form of communication to a prospect's phone and, in general, immediately consumed. It also allows for them to get back to you over text message as well, which in some instances could be the most convenient and quickest means. People think of text messaging as pretty impersonal, but if we look at them in the same way that a live chat box on your website is working now, you'll see that we are fairly comfortable with the idea of exchanging bits of text messages already. And so, more marketing strategies are incorporating text messages into their plans, as it is a frequently used mode of communication. Even for yourself, just think about how often do you text your friends and family over calling them. Adopting text messaging has the ability to cut through, gaining your prospect's immediate brief attention span as they check out the source of their latest mobile phone notification. And because you may have a problem throughout the follow-up process of getting people on the telephone with you, as people increasingly avoid using that form of communication, you'll need to be able to use different weapons to get your message heard loud and clear. Texting is quick and easy, with no time requirements, and in a simple one or two line text, you can feel confident that they would have received the message. And not just a simple text, with modern texting, you can also send other items like photos, images, links, and videos. We love to use any of those while sending a text message to help engagement and to provide more value to the user. You can send a quick video of a procedure, a link to one of your case studies, before and after images that are similar to their case, or even a great review. Whatever you are adding to the message, just remember that it should be done with the intent of adding real value to that process. One final positive aspect of using text messages for your communications is that currently, text messages are less crowded. As people are not getting hundreds and hundreds of text-based marketing messages on a daily basis. It's like the fishing is best where the fewest people go. And not many people are willing to text communicate with prospects yet. So it allows for you a better chance of success of getting your communications read. When using a text message as part of your follow-up process, it's important to treat it in the same way that you would when you're texting a friend. Don't cut and paste a big email and send it as a text message. Text messages should be a short one or two line bit of personal communication. For example, "Hi Kathy, I've tried to catch you a few times via email. When would it suit for you to chat next?" To recap, sending a text message over a phone call can be more beneficial, as a prospect can consume that data immediately. It avoids direct communication and is quick and easy with no time requirements. You can also send photos, images, links, videos, and other multimedia as part of a text message. And lastly, it's in an environment that isn't overcrowded with competing messages and information. You have a unique opportunity to stand out and be different. The third means of following up is the email follow-up. An email follow-up is without a doubt the most common form used, which is unfortunate as it is generally used quite poorly. People will tend to send prospects long-winded emails that lack value, and yet they will still expect to close a prospect using it. Why do they do that? Well, one reason is that it causes for less confrontation. Instead of making a phone call, people prefer that less confrontational style by sending an email. But think about it. When was the last time you ever closed a booking over an email? It just doesn't happen very often, very few times indeed. There are several downsides with using email as part of your follow-up process. First of all, it's the most common form of communication, and because of that, it overloads their inboxes. Even for yourself, think about what is your first response when you get an email. It feels more like a chore or duty to respond to, something we never want to make our prospects feel. It is also unreliable. You never know if someone has really gotten it or just missed it or had it go directly into their junk mail. And yes, we know that people will install solutions like Chrome plugins that can send read receipts if someone's read the email, but even those are becoming unreliable. Email is definitely the most unreliable method in terms of following up. But you can use email, just make sure that you have a good strategy around it. For example, the purpose of email is not to close the booking. Email is better used to get that prospect onto a telephone call. You'll find it difficult to close bookings via email, so you would much rather prefer to close them over the phone. Over the phone is when you can hash out details and really get a prospect sold on your products or services. What you can do is email them and give them a few preferred times for chatting. You want to use email sparingly, and you want to use it to get a call set up. When you send an email, please keep them short. Don't write an 8 to 10 paragraphs long email. Keep it to one or two paragraphs only, or ideally one or two lines. Brief and clear lines of text asking for a simple response. So to recap, when you use email as part of your follow-up process, you will want to remember that, first, it is the most common form of communication, so it is hard to cut through the rest of the marketing noise online. Use it sparingly. Two, most people are overloaded with emails on a daily basis. Don't be surprised if you don't get a response from any of your emails. Three, spam filters help make email unreliable. Even with a read email checking software, you won't know why someone didn't open your email. Did it not make their inbox? Not interested? Not received? Four, use email to set up a time to talk on the phone. And five, for effective use of email, keep your emails short and sweet. They should be direct and to the point and not demanding too much attention or commitment from your prospect. In this final section on the means of following up, we're going to look at the lost art of using a handwritten letter follow-up. In this digital age that we're living in, physical mail has more opportunity to stand out and get your prospect's attention than ever before. Think about when was the last time that you got a personal handwritten letter. Most mail these days feels like a bill or bank statements rather than a nice, friendly, handwritten letter. And while most people would suggest that they'd love to receive more communications through the mail, few of us actually do send them. Your ability to cut through the noise with a handwritten letter is through the roof, and it's a great way for you to switch things up. But because of the expense and time involved, it really comes down to the value of what you're selling to see if it is worthwhile. If you're selling a $29 hand cream, doing a handwritten letter follow-up is probably a little bit over the top. However, if you're selling a high-ticket item that is worth thousands of dollars, then without a doubt, a handwritten letter could be worth it to you, as it will allow you to make a mark and leave a really good impression. As I mentioned earlier, the fishing is best where the fewest people go, and no one is doing this. Therefore, this is an area that you can just dominate with. The drawback is that it does take time, but it's extremely personable. It's really hard for someone not to acknowledge a handwritten letter, as they are exceedingly rare and now more valuable. To recap, using a handwritten letter as a follow-up, it has tremendous separation from what everyone else is doing. It's a lost art. The opportunity to differentiate yourself is dramatically different to any other kind of modality out there. You can dominate this area. Our pro tip on this one is to find another way of maybe getting a little extra creative in your handwritten letter. You can include something small, like a fun little detail, like attaching a tea bag to the letter and saying, "Hi there, I've attached this tea bag. Why don't you sit down, make yourself a cup of tea to look at my quote, and let's have a chat." Additional fun small details like that will have you standing out from the crowd and leaving an amazing impression on your prospect. Now that we've looked at the various ways that you can do your follow-ups, now we're going to look at our follow-up blueprint. And we'd like to walk you through a very specific follow-up program, because the thing that we've found is that the reason that most people don't follow up is that they simply don't know what to say. They don't know when to follow up, and they don't know how long to leave in between follow-ups. We want to eliminate any of the guesswork involved with following up and give you a proven system that you can implement straight away at your clinic. This blueprint doesn't have to be set in concrete. It can differ for you, tweaking it as you see what works best for your business and what you're comfortable with. But you need to have a good system in place with clear strategies and guidelines so that no matter who is doing the follow-up process, you are confident you are working positively towards the best result possible. The goal of the follow-up is to add value and strengthen your prospect's confidence in choosing you as their provider. It is not to push them to make a decision that favors us. It is also to get a clear yes or no from a prospect and not more maybes. The total number of touch points of this follow-up system is up to 12 times for converting a lead into a booking. Usually, you will probably have an answer, you know, a clear yes or no, by the fifth or sixth follow-up attempt, or even earlier than that. However, in this section, I'm going to outline what you need to do in each of those 12 follow-up touch points using different techniques that don't sound salesy or pushy to accomplish your goal of getting a clear answer from your prospect. All right. Touch point number one. The first follow-up comes after you have just finished your call with the prospect. And if they haven't booked in with you right then and there, and they still need more information to decide, then you immediately take that time to send them the remaining information that they need. Whether that is sending them a detailed quote or more details about a procedure, you will want to send this follow-up as an email within the first 5 to 10 minutes after getting off of that call. You should frame your email in the context of how you have been previously interacting with them. It was great just speaking with you now. Please see the requested attached detailed quote, and I'll speak with you about this later in the afternoon. Typically, when you are asking to set up a time to speak to someone, as a rule of thumb, you don't want to ask them what timing suits them, because you could get a timing that has very little urgency to it, like in 3 weeks' time. Nobody wants to wait that long to try and close a deal. In 3 weeks, they are most likely to have completely forgot everything that you two have even discussed. Instead, what you want to do when speaking to them is to control the conversation and dictate the terms while making it feel like It is their decision. So instead, you may want to approach it by saying, I'm going to give you a call this afternoon. How does that suit? While it would be great if they say yes, we're not expecting most people to say yes. But that shortened time frame already sets an urgency in their mind, and you're more likely to arrange a quicker turnaround on your follow-up. Just remember, the key to this first follow-up is sending it immediately. Sending them an email follow-up within the first 5 to 10 minutes after your phone call increases the conversion rate by 9 times. This is because it shows that you are a dedicated, committed individual who is of their word. You're not leaving your follow-ups for days and weeks and not able to follow through on your wording. Instead, you value them, your relationship, and their time. Touch point number 2. The next follow-up is typically on the same day, and it's generally your first callback. Previously, we had mentioned that you want to send your first touch point as immediately after your initial conversation with your prospect as possible, with any remaining information that they may be looking for to make an informed decision. We frame that first touch point around our previous conversation, but we also add in an expectation of this future second touch point. Hi, thanks for chatting earlier. Nice meeting you. I've just emailed you that detailed quote. Have a read, and I'll give you a call back later today to ensure that you got it. Another touch point later on the same day not only confirms that they have the necessary information, but it allows for you to establish your priorities and the urgency of the matter. It gives you additional opportunities to come through on the commitments you're establishing. You're calling them. You're sending emails to them. You're on point and punctual, and you're all over this. The next point is the third touch point, and we typically think that it's best to do this within 24 hours. Though, if you've agreed to call your prospect back at an agreed date and time, then you'd leave this third touch point to whatever time that is. While our first two touch points will go fairly smoothly, these future interactions could prove more problematic, as when you attempt to call your prospect from here on out, they may not have had a chance to get around to it and look at what you've sent, or spoke with their partner, or they haven't decided. They could start deferring picking up your phone call and allowing them to go through to voicemail instead. In this situation, where you don't get to talk to your prospect, you should leave a voicemail for them instead, treating it as just another touch point. In this touch point, it can be easy to say something meaningless like, "Hey, it's Wynn, give me a call back when you get this." That's a wasted opportunity. Instead, you want to add a little bit of value and a teaser into that voicemail. For example, "Hi, I just took a look at the detailed quote I sent you previously, and I've got some additional information to help you get that desired result we discussed. Please, give me a call back when it suits you best." The more you can personalize it by inserting the prospect's desired result, like losing weight, reducing a double chin, getting varicose veins treated, the better. But this third touch point has a double-pronged approach, because every time that you leave a voicemail, we also recommend that you send a text message to let them know that you have just left them a voicemail. By doing this, we are bringing your follow-up attempts to their attention and hopefully prompting them to go and check that voicemail. Maybe they don't check their voicemails regularly, but we imagine that they will definitely check an SMS. This double-pronged approach ensures that your voicemail won't be as likely to be missed. All right, moving along to our fourth touch point. As we're going through these follow-up steps, we want to reference what we discussed earlier, that the fortune is in the follow-up process, and that about 80% of all sales are made between the 5th and the 12th points of contact. At this point, we are just getting started. Typically, this fourth touch point is done 2 days from your initial interaction. But if you have agreed to a different timing with your prospect, you have to factor that in. For this fourth touch point, we will revert back to using email, but not just a normal text-based email. Instead, we want to provide more value back to our prospect. You want to include screenshots of relevant data or information, maybe case studies or links to an article that your clinic or a highly authoritative site has published that is relevant to their case. We frame this follow-up around this additional information. Hi, Kathy. I'm just following up that email that I sent across previously as I wanted to provide you with some more research on this topic. And attached are some similar cases to yours that we have helped achieve their desired result using our technology that we discussed previously with you. Hopefully, you will see the difference in the before and after results. If you have any more questions, please let me know. That fourth touch point is all about adding more value to your follow-up process and hopefully addressing potential objections, concerns, or reasons why the prospect hasn't immediately responded to your other attempts to connect. Touch point number 5. We like to send this fifth follow-up on the third day, and this touch point is what we like to call the third party. You can use any option you prefer here. Text, email, calling, voicemail, you can pick or choose depending on what you've used so far in your follow-up process. We do urge that you keep switching up the modality as frequently as you can, though. It helps to keep it fresh and different. Typically, what you would do on this fifth touch point is you want to introduce a third party into your discussions. For example, look, I've spoken with my practice manager and there is something that I want to share with you. Please give me a call back when you get this. We did this imagining a voicemail and we're referencing a practice manager, but it can be your manager, lead surgeon, a department leader, or any specialist on your team, whoever it is. It doesn't matter as much as it matters that we're bringing a third party into your discussions. We're demonstrating that you're trying to do more to help this prospect by adding this third party because they have additional value that they can add to your previous discussions. What that value will be is up to you and your team to determine. It could be savings, alternate treatment options, or maybe even scheduling. The goal on this fifth touch point is not to let these interactions get stale. We are establishing an element of intrigue to your follow-up conversation and providing elements of curiosity that can help inspire your prospect to reply to your repeated attempts. It's just another hook, but it's a way to get that prospect back on the phone and working towards getting you your answer. All right, this brings us to the sixth follow-up touch point, and typically this one is sent on the fourth day following your initial interaction, depending again on any alternate arrangement you previously agreed to with your prospect. This is the time when we're really going to start leveling up. We understand the value of switching it up because your prospect may have started getting used to us following up with them already, and so this is where we want to introduce a different form of valued content: video. Now, what we want you to do here is to record some valuable, relevant content. You'll need to think about what would be applicable to your clinic, but something that discusses or addresses some of the most likely pain points that could be holding your prospect back are most desirable. And typically, the follow-up message you'd use with this video content would be, "Hey, Kathy, I just wanted to put my face to the name and show you what I've been working on for you. Watch this video as it..." and then outline the positive benefits that they get from watching the video. At the end of your message, remind them that you'd like to hear from them as soon as they get this message. With this level of detail and commitment, this is when your prospect will begin to realize that you're not going anywhere and you can't be ignored. You're just being dramatically different to what everybody else is doing, and you're further providing more value than just repeatedly harassing them with, "Hey, did you look at that detailed quote yet?" You're switching it up, you're adding value, and you're moving the conversation along. Touch point number 7. At this point, we're probably well into a week since we first interacted with this prospect, and we've already been working hard to establish value and provide more incentives to not only reply to us, but to reply positively to us. At this point, we want to pivot in a slightly different direction and provide something very short and sweet, the thought of you follow-up. Hey, Kathy, I was just thinking of you today as I saw a new patient who came into our clinic with a similar case just like yours. By the way, can you call me back when you get this? Or, hey, I was on my way home tonight and I thought about you and what we've discussed. Would love to chat more if you had the time. You're not trying to provide any more value at this stage. You're not trying to use any new levels of curiosity. It's just a straightforward, humble form of communication that you thought of them and you'd like them to give you a call back. Touch point number 8. In terms of timing with this one, you want to really think about where you're at with this follow-up process and connecting with this person. You don't want to smash your prospect every single day with the same messages. We should give them some space for them to think and to not feel overwhelmed by your touch points. So depending on what you've discussed with your prospect, the kind of products or services that you sell, we will leave it up to your intuition on when best to send this next touch point. We'd suggest never leaving any more than 4 days between any touch points, because anything longer than that and a prospect will start to cool off. Now up to this touch point, if you have still heard nothing, I would just keep this touch point short and simple. I would refer to a previous follow-up attempt that we've done to try and inspire them to take some action. You know, did you get a chance to check out that video? Have you had a chance to review the detailed quote? No need to ask when does it suit for a chat. At this point, you just need to send them a nice one-liner that will hopefully elicit a response. Touch point number 9. We imagine that this touch point would come generally around 10 days after the initial contact with your prospect. And what we would advise you to say is something that will hopefully motivate the prospect to reconnect and engage with your process. A short and sweet message: did you see this? You can link to some video content, a review of an article, maybe a write-up on your own clinic, or a link to an article written about you. Anything that's going to be of added value that you think they need to see. So, hey Kathy, did you see this? A simple statement like that reinvigorates your communication and hopefully gets this conversation back working towards a successful conclusion. That brings us to the 10th touch point in our follow-up process. And while it seems like there are a lot of follow-ups happening, there needs to be. This is where the fortunes are made, and it's usually also where everybody falls short. You want to have stamina to be able to go through this process and follow up like clockwork. When we're looking at this 10th touch point, this is where we want to start sending some informational links. We may have already sent one previously in this process, but we need to find some more unique, relevant content to send to our prospect. You're looking at sending this content around day 14, 2 weeks after the first inquiry. At this stage, you want to send them a link with an email, you know, something to maybe a screenshot review, a testimonial, maybe an opportunity for a prospect to talk to one of your past patients who had had the same procedure, anything that adds more value for the prospect. Know that developing relevant content that you can share at any stage of these touch points is fundamental to this process. So ensure that you spend some time planning and laying out the different items that you can send and when. That brings us to the 11th touch point. We're getting very close to the end of our process, and so it may start feeling like your interactions aren't going to lead to a positive conclusion. If you've gotten here, it is likely that your prospect is losing interest for whatever reason. Most of the time, you will find that your sales will be achieved when you reach that 5th to 7th follow-up period. So reaching this late in the process admittedly isn't a good sign. However, we don't want to count them out yet. Instead, we want to find ways that we can keep engaging with this prospect, even beyond this touchpoint process. This is where you want to add them to your LinkedIn profile. Building your professional community there with your prospects will allow for your future postings to reach them and keep you front of mind for a time in the future when they may be looking to re-engage. You can also consider engaging with them on Instagram or whatever social media channel that you feel comfortable with, but LinkedIn would be the preferred place based on its professionalism and quality of contacts and information. Which brings us to the 12th and final touch point in this follow-up process. And while you can keep going, by this point we can safely assume they have probably disengaged. And generally, any additional touch point would just involve cycling through variations of these 12 steps. And if a prospect is still unresponsive by this 12th touch point, well, this is where we need to step up. You need to get a little bit aggressive now, because by this 12th touch point and still no response, well, that's really not acceptable. What we like to do at this stage is to send them an email like, "Hi Kathy, I took the time to put this together for you as you sounded interested in our offerings. I've sent you some videos and I've put a lot of time and energy into this. Please give me the courtesy to let me know which way you want to go with this. If it's not a great fit for you or it's not the right time, I completely understand, but please just let me know, because one thing that I want to make very clear is that we can keep following up." Actually, following up forever until we get a yes or a no will be up to you. The thing we don't tolerate is maybes or not knowing where we stand with people, and we want to make that very clear. It is completely fine. It's a prospect's right to say no, but whatever you do, don't leave us in the dark and not let us know what you want to do. That we won't accept. If you're feeling a little bit bolder, you can put together the message in an audio recording for added emphasis. "We told you that we'd never wrong a customer. And admittedly, that's not exactly what we're doing here, but we do need to bring a level of seriousness to this follow-up process now, because we've followed up 12 times already, and we need to appeal to that empathy within them to just shoot us straight and let us know where they stand." And that brings us to the end of the 12 touch points. That was a lot to cover. So to quickly recap our full 12 touch point follow-up process, we've included a summarized version of the follow-up steps as simple, detailed action items. You can customize them how they would work best for you and your practice. Print them out and keep them handy when you're building your follow-up process. These simplified follow-up steps are: step one, send an email 5 minutes after contacting, communicating that it was great speaking with you. Please see our attached proposal. I look forward to speaking with you later this afternoon. Step two, your first callback later the same day, communicating, "Do you have any questions? What did I miss? Who else would be involved in the decision process?" Step three, a call, text, or voicemail within 24 hours after initial contact, communicating, "I just took a look at X, you know, the proposal, call notes, plans, and I had a great idea for helping you get your desired results. Call me back." Step four, an email within 48 hours from initial contact, communicating, "I have some information that I want to share with you concerning our recent conversation that I think is relevant to your situation. Include some screenshots, links, or articles to new content that adds value." The fifth step, a text, call, or voicemail within 72 hours communicating, "I just spoke with X, you know, your team, practice manager, general manager, etc., and there is something I want to share with you. Please give me a call back when you get this." Step six, a Loom or video text within 96 hours communicating, "Hey there, I just wanted to put my face to my name and show you what I've been working on for you. So here you can see that," and then add some valuable information. I hope you enjoyed this video and got some value out of it. Give me a call back to discuss it when you have a chance. Step 7, a thought of you message on the 6th day, communicating, I met a new prospect today who was in a similar situation as you, and it got me thinking about you. Hope everything is okay. By the way, give me a call when you get this. Step 8, a follow-up to a previous follow-up that we send on the 8th day, communicating, did you get the chance to see that video I sent you 4 days ago? Step 9, did you see this message on the 10th day, communicating, did you see this? I thought it might help provide you with some more information, and then link to some new content, a review, an article, or relevant write-up. Step 10, an email sent on the 14th day communicating some final new relevant and valuable information that you haven't sent previously. Screenshots of before and after example, maybe reviews, testimonials, or references from similar patients. Step 11, connecting with them on social media, which is done by the 16th day. Add them on LinkedIn or your preferred social media network if you haven't already. And if you have, share some of their content. Maybe give them an endorsement or review to help promote and encourage engagement between you two on that platform. And finally, step 12, an email done on the 18th day communicating, hi there, I took the time to put this together for you as you sounded interested in our offerings. I've sent you some videos and I've put a lot of time and energy into this. Please give me the courtesy to let me know which way that you want to go with this.